But I want to take a few minutes just to chat with everybody, just in light of what's going on this week as it relates to the Supreme Court and the ruling that came down on same-sex marriage and those sorts of things. So I just want to chat with you about that a little bit. And what a week to pick to be on vacation. That's why you haven't gotten an email from me about anything. So I want to take a chance to chat with you a little bit about it today. It was a vacation where we went to Georgia for a few days, and then Sarah and I were painting our house. That's a great vacation. Woohoo! But that's what we did. And I didn't even know any of this had happened. And Tom called me on Friday morning and told me a little bit about it. And so then I hopped on, online, looked at Facebook and some different news channels and just saw everything, was blowing up about this. And on the one side of things, you know, it feels like the world's kind of flipped upside down in a lot of ways. And there are ramifications of things that will come down the pike. Potentially someday, things that we can worry about and think through and talk about later on that we're definitely going to have to face. We are going to, be seen as freaks and those sorts of things. But on the other hand, nothing has really changed. On the one hand, yes, and I get that. But as believers in Jesus, nothing's really changed as it relates to that. Marriage has not changed, okay? Marriage is not a social construct or contract. God invented marriage. God defined marriage. God ordained marriage. So marriage is what it has always been in light of God's creation of it. Christian marriage has not changed. It is what it has always been. So that hasn't changed. And we've been talking, like, knowing this is coming. This is not anything that's caught anybody, none of your pastors off guard. We've known this was coming for a while. We've been talking about it in here for a while. And we preached through Genesis 1 back not too long ago, and we talked specifically about the purpose of marriage, that it is more than anything to point to a picture of the gospel. And the reason marriage is a big deal is that it points to the gospel. And so if you change the definition of marriage, you're monkeying with the gospel. That's why it's a big deal. So we talked through that. We've talked through Genesis 18 as we've gone through Sodom and Gomorrah. We've talked through Jude here in the last couple of weeks as well. So we've talked about some of these. But marriage hasn't changed, okay? The gospel hasn't changed. The Great Commission hasn't changed. The Great Commandment hasn't changed. Okay, we're still called to make disciples of all the nations, no matter what. Okay, we're still called in the Great Commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That hasn't changed. And that neighbor includes those within the LGBT community that we disagree with. It includes gay men and lesbian women who will be getting married in the eyes of the government here in Tennessee. We disagree with them, but we still are called to love them. Okay, we are called to speak the truth. We do not capitulate to the culture. We speak the truth in love. We don't forget truth, and we don't forget love. We've got to hang on to both of those. We don't get in a tit-for-tat conversation. We don't, you're mean to me, I'm mean to you. We're not getting into that. We are called to something higher than that. We are called to speak the words of Jesus with the attitude of Jesus. Truth and love. Okay? We've got a job to do. And that job is to tell the world about Jesus. It's to worship and enjoy God and lead others to do the same. That hasn't changed. Some of the context and the trappings around that may have, but we've got a job to do. Marriage can't save you. Getting a Supreme Court ruling can't save you, and it can't satisfy you. And when that's seen, we're here to point to the one person who can satisfy you, and that's Jesus. We're still for joy. We're still pushing people to find true joy. The things that we think will satisfy won't. So where do we go from here as you think about this and you've seen things this week? What do we do? We love people, and we tell them about Jesus. That's what we do. We love people, and we tell them about Jesus. When they hate you, because some will, even when we're not being bigots, which we can be, right? We were talking about this in the college class this morning. We need to be careful. Let the gospel, let the scriptures, which are our authority, let them be the offense, not our actions, okay? So when people hate you, because some will, we love them and we tell them about Jesus. When people call you a bigot, even when you're not being that way, when you're just saying, I love you, but I disagree on this, even when you love them and you tell them about Jesus. When the world thinks that you are a whacked out freak, because step one, you are. But number two, you're going to be considered that more and more as we continue to hold up a sexual ethic, even in love. You're still going to be seen increasingly in that way. What do? We love people and we tell them about Jesus. Our authority is the Word of God. Okay? That has not changed. It will not change. If that means ramifications for me as a pastor down the road, so be it. Okay? Our authority hasn't changed. We can't change. We will not capitulate to culture. As a Christian, I mean, that holds the Bible as the inerrant, infallible Word of God. We can't change that. So it is what it is, but we can be loving even in our disagreements, like Jesus was. We have to continue to approach this as we have for as long as the church has existed, from a holistic sexual ethic. Homosexuality is not pigeonholed. It's part of a consistent holistic sexual ethic. Within God's design is sex within a monogamous, heterosexual, covenantal, for life marriage. Anything inside of that, great. Anything, heterosexual, homosexual, whatever it is, outside of that, pornography, any of that, is out of bounds. It's a holistic sexual ethic that we have to hang on to. And we speak the truth. We do. And we do so in love. Our doctrine is important. Our posture is important. Jesus is our authority, and He is our example. And so on some practical things, we will review some documents here, just to keep you informed. Wedding policy, we're already pretty good to go on that. Our wedding policy states that the only people who can be married in this building are members of the church in good standing, or in some rare circumstances, those who are moving towards that. So that's already, you know, pretty well. We're good to go on that. We'll review our facilities use, which I think we're pretty good to go on that. We thought through that. We'll review our constitution and bylaws. It's time to do that anyhow. So we'll be doing that. And one final thing that we really need to do is calm down. Just calm down. It's going to be okay. Jesus doesn't drive an ambulance. He wasn't caught off guard. He's not showing up now trying to fix this and figure out how things would go down. He's on His throne. He knows what He's doing. He will bring it to a very good new beginning someday. Until then, we pray for our country, but we do not fret about the kingdom of God. Okay? You don't have to fret about that. The gates of Hades cannot prevail. And remember, they are defensive weapons, not offensive. Gates do not go on the attack. They defend. So what we do, we storm the gates. We fulfill the Great Commission. We live out the Great Commandment. And like Dr. Moore said, we fear God, but we don't fear our mission field. Jesus told us it's white unto harvest, and now is a great time to be a missionary in His service.